In the midst of everything is our God. His word never changes. His character never changes. And so this morning, I thought it would be good for us to focus on him and truths that are true of him. And so this morning, we're going to take time to look at the love that God has for his children and how that love changes us. And so this morning, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to 1 John 3, verses 1 to 3. We're going to be in 1 John 3, verses 1 to 3. And as we go through this passage, we're going to look at four ways that the unchanging love of God changes us. We're going to look at four ways that the unchanging love of God changes us. But before I read our scripture, I just ask for you to join with me in a word of prayer as we prepare to come to the message this morning. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this morning and for the privilege it is to gather together, to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to be able to encourage one another as we meet together. And Father, we thank you already for the ways in which we've been challenged and encouraged this morning, Lord. It is just been wonderful to be able to sing praises to you and to be able to be encouraged by the lesson in the skit. And so, Father, I pray that you'd continue to work in and through our service in our morning here, Lord, that you would just be leading and guiding me as I speak, Lord, that you would be guiding my words and that you would give us receptive hearts to what you would want us to hear this morning. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. So if you haven't turned there already, I'd invite you again to turn to 1 John 3, verses 1 to 3, and I'm going to read that as we get started here this morning. And so 1 John 3, verses 1 to 3 says, and I'm reading from the ESV, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." This is a short but instructive passage of Scripture that calls the reader to see what kind of love the Father has for us. It calls us to see how he has shown his love in such a pure and amazing way. God is love. This we can read in 1 John 4:8. Love is part of his character. It is part of who he is. And as he lives and acts and does what he does, his love does not change because he does not change. And this morning, this passage in 1 John 3 calls the reader to see this love. Now, the thing about this love is that it can be seen. This love is active. This love is at work in and through those who it is shown to. It is a love that changes those that it reaches. It's not just a nice idea or sentiment, but it is an active love. And this morning, we will hopefully see that as we work through this passage, we will see that it is that way. Which brings me to the first way in which the unchanging love of God changes us. It makes us his children. The unchanging love of God changes us. It makes us his children. Consider that with me for a moment. The love of God makes us his children. The God of all the universe has chosen to show his love to mankind. And he has done this by sending his son into the world and making it possible for sinners to become his children. As we've already read in verse 1 of our passage, it says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God." Without the love of God, it's impossible to become God's child. In fact, before any of us were considered to be a child of God, we were actually considered haters of him. In Romans 1, Paul talks about people, particularly the Gentiles, and how they were people who worshipped creation instead of the Creator. And as they fell into idolatry, they fell into deeper sin and depravity, falling as far as becoming haters of God, as it says in Romans 1, verse 30. People are capable of hating God in their hearts and being quite distant from Him. And so before any of us came to Christ, we were in fact in a place of hostility with God. We were enemies with Him. But God still made a way for hateful people, even haters of Him, to become His children. In John 1:12 it says, "But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave them the right to become children of God." To all who receive His Son, Jesus Christ, to all who believe in Jesus, Christ gave people the right to become God's children. On our own and without Christ, this is impossible. Without Jesus, we can't be God's child. But thankfully, because God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son so that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved the world and sent His Son. And when an individual comes to faith in Christ, believing in Him to be the Son of God and repenting of their sin, they too can become His child. God's unchanging love changes us from being hateful enemies of God into His children. He changes us by making us His children. And so that is the first way in which God's unchanging love changes us. The second way that God's unchanging love changes us that we're going to look at this morning is that it makes us unknown to the world. His unchanging love changes us by making us unknown to the world. In the second part of verse 1, it says, "The reason that the world does not know us is because the world did not know Him." The world in this passage is speaking of anything or anyone that does not know God and is separated from Him. The world can include people, ideas, movements, and things that are separated from God. Now, before anyone believed in Christ, they too were a part of the world. They thought like the world, they were in this world, and not in the one who had made them and formed them and gave them life. But in Christ, we become a new creation. We become transformed. We're no longer like our old selves, resembling and desiring the things of the world, but we become transformed and completely changed in Christ because we belong to God. Now, how many of you here this morning know who my father is? You can raise your hands if you know who my father is. I'm sure many of you do. Most of you here this morning will know who my father is. Now, because most of you know who my father is, there's a good chance that you're able to know a few things about me because of who he is. You'll know some of the values I have and some of the things that are important to me because you've either seen that in my father or because you know him. The way I operate will make sense to you. Likewise, if I know your father, there is a good chance that I'll be able to see some of his values displayed in your life. But the problem for me is that most of you here are over 50 and I don't know your fathers. I cannot just know what you are like based off of what I know of your fathers or things that you might value because I don't know who your father is or what he is like. Some of you here this morning know my earthly father and can know a little bit about me based on your knowledge of him. But hopefully all of you here this morning know my heavenly father. And as a result, you will know a little bit about me because you also know God the Father. You will know what I believe and hold to as important, and hopefully know what is important to me because it's something that is likely very important to you as well. If we both know God the Father, as we can learn from him, about him from his word, there will be a familiarity between us as brothers and sisters in Christ. But this is not so with the world. The world does not know our Heavenly Father. In the same way that I do not know many of your fathers, the world does not know our Heavenly Father or His love. Those who are children of this world and its ideas and sentiments are not His children, and they have not spent time trying to know Him. And if the world does not know our Father, the world is not going to know His children or understand them. And so God's children, and so as God's children, His love changes us by making us unknown to the world. He changes us. He changes our values, and we become different and unknown to the world. This brings me to the third way in which the unchanging love of God changes us, and it is that it makes us like Christ. The unchanging love of God changes us by making us like Christ. If we are a disciple or a follower of Christ, we will become more like Him. That's the reality of being a follower of Him. But as we will see in verse 2 of our passage this morning, we will actually be made like Christ when He appears someday. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems like that should be a privilege that belongs to someone else, or at least it should be only unique of Jesus. But the scriptures are clear that we are to be like Christ someday, sharing in His likeness, but not in His divinity. I just want to be clear about that. We're being changed to reflect Christ and His likeness and His righteousness. In 1 John 3:2, it says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is." As John writes, he reiterates to the audience that they are God's children. He's writing this to believers of the early church. But again, he's reminding this early church of the reality that they are God's children right now in the present, but there is more to come for them as God's children. There is more to be expected. When Christ returns, this reality would be made clear to them. Who He is exactly would become crisper to them, and in that moment, who they were supposed to be or who they were supposed to become would be made clear to them as well. Now, I don't know about you, but not knowing the time of Christ's return or the exact changes that He will make in me can be a bit of a frustrating and even an anxious wait. What will His return be like? You know, what will happen to me exactly? Those are the kinds of questions that I'm curious of when it comes to Christ's return. But a few things we do know is that Christ's return is certain, and that in Christ we are being changed now and can look forward to a day when we will be made like Him at His appearing. Those are things that are certain. Now, hopefully for all of us, Christ's appearing can be good news for us today. Hopefully that can be good news for us today. Unfortunately, sin still has a stronghold in our world and has given cause to hurt, strife, and dysfunction. In fact, sin has made it difficult and discouraging for even those who are God's children. And it probably has some of God's children wondering if it's really all what it's cracked up to be one. And if that's the case, I'd like to direct our attention over to Romans 8 for a second. In Romans 8:18, it says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." As a child of God, there are days where it is difficult or discouraging to keep on in our faith. You know, maybe you're battling a sickness that doesn't seem to be getting any better. Maybe your children are going through difficulty and you don't know how to help them through it. Maybe you or a loved one is experiencing brokenness in their marriage. If that's the case, then I want you to consider that although these are challenges right here and right now, these challenges cannot compare with the glory that is to be revealed to those who are a child of God. And this includes Christ at His appearing when He is revealed to us. Now, if we continue to look through Romans 8, we can actually continue to read of the work that God has in store for His people. In verse 29, it says of God, "For those He foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Now, these may sound like strange words, but what verse 29 is telling us is that God's people are being made like Christ. God's children are being made to reflect his likeness. Although he is the firstborn, which means he comes before all of God's people, means he exists before all of creation, and it means that he's experienced the resurrection before all of this, although he's the firstborn, we are all still being made to reflect him in our lives. It's an amazing miracle that God has for all who believe. It's a miracle of making unrighteous sinners like us righteous like his Son. When Christ appears, we will see what we will be like. He hasn't appeared to us yet in his return to earth. But when he does, we will see his physical glorified body as well as his perfect righteous life. And then we will see what's in store for us as his children. And in those days, Christ will restore all things where they should be, including us as humans. For now, as God's children here on earth, we're growing in our Christ-likeness. But ultimately, we are to look forward to the complete change that will come upon us when we meet our Savior face to face. In that day, we will see him and be like him. The unchanging love of God changes us to become more like Christ. Now, this brings me to the last point that I want to talk about from our passage this morning, which is this. The unchanging love of God changes us by motivating us to be pure. The unchanging love of God changes us by motivating us to be pure. Verse 3 of our passage this morning says, "And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." There's so much reason for us to put our hope in Christ. As we've already talked about in our passage this morning, we've taken time to see that through Christ, we can become a child of God. Through Christ and through God's work in our life, we can look forward to becoming like him, sharing in his righteousness now, and even more so when we meet him face to face someday. There is much for us to hope in. Without being a child of God, and without the work of Christ in our lives to make us righteous, there is no way that we could ever stand before God with any confidence of forgiveness. But through the righteousness of Christ being formed in our lives, we can have confidence to stand before our Maker, knowing that his perfection is what covers us. This is reason for hope. And if our hope is in these truths of God, then we as people can find motivation to walk in purity as our Savior is pure and as he walks in purity. And for those who have placed their hope in Christ, there is a call to live pure as he is pure in verse 3. Before we came to know Christ personally, there was no motivation to walk in purity. There was no example for us. There was nothing to show us how to live, act, or respond properly in this life except for maybe false religion. But Christ has become our example and the model for who we are to be like. This passage did not talk about us becoming like our favorite image of ourselves, but it talks about us becoming more like Jesus. And if we have thus put our hope in him, we will seek to live out our lives like Christ as we journey towards the day when he returns or we meet him face to face. Practically, this might look like taking time to read the word and to pray. This may look like showing self-control in situations where it's difficult. Maybe it'll mean removing ourselves from temptation or situations that'll lead us to sin. Sadly, for people, sin is still a part of our world, and it's crouching at our door looking to devour us. Temptation is all around us. And so every day we ought to be battling our sin and our desire to sin. We ought to seek that which is pure and blameless and honorable to God. I need to fight for this. We all need to fight for this purity. If I hope in God and in the day when I will be made perfectly righteous like his Son and sin no more, then now I must battle as if I have hope for that and like I long for that. If I love my sin now, I don't hope for it to be banished and for myself to be made righteous. But if I hate my sin, I will truly long for the day in which Christ appears and I am made like him. If we jump down to verse 6 of 1 John 3, we can actually read, "No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps sinning has either seen him or known him." That is a serious verse, but it brings out the reality that if we keep on sinning in our lives without any repentance, there's a good chance that we do not know who God even is. We might not even be saved, and that is a serious thought. If we keep on sinning in our lives and never turn from that sin, if we keep on sinning in our lives and never turn from that sin, if all we ever do is make a practice of sinning, then maybe we don't actually have hope in Christ and in the work of him changing us. If we put our hope in God and in the work of Christ changing us, then we will find motivation to live purely as he is pure. Christ is pure. He is perfect. He is changing us to become more like him. And if that is the case, the way in which we live out our lives will also grow in purity as well. The unchanging love of God changes us and motivates us to live purely because we have hope in Christ and his righteousness. It's amazing that the love of God is unchanging. But equally amazing is the fact that the love of God also changes us. It changes us by making us his child. Once we were not able to be a child of God. Once that was not possible. But now, his love makes us his son and daughters when we believe in the death and resurrection of his son and repent of our sin. It is amazing that this love changes our position to that of sons and daughters. This love also changes us by making us unknown to the world. Now, maybe this is a difficult change to make for some. Maybe it makes you feel like an alien in this world. Maybe it makes you feel like you are alone at times. If that is the case, just know that although you feel that way, it isn't bad. It's not a bad thing. People might not know you, but that's because they do not know your Father. People might not understand you as a follower of Christ. They may not understand why you rest on a Sunday or why you attend church. They may not understand why you take time out of your week to teach others about Jesus. People might not understand why you take time to pray to God. But the reason they don't understand this about you is because they don't know your Father. But you know your Father. And know that even though the world does not know you, know that the Father does. And if the world does not know you, know that this means God is actually changing you. You are being changed. You are becoming different. You're becoming unknown to the world, and that is because you are his. You are a child of God. God's love also changes us to become more like Christ. In a world where there's all sorts of voices that want us to conform to their ideas or images, God has a far better image for us to be conformed to. As a follower of Christ, we are being conformed to the image of Christ. As we seek to live out our faith, and as we seek to grow and mature in our faith, God changes us to become more like his son. It can be tempting to imitate the latest Instagram, TikTok, or HGTV sensation, but images that are all around us are not what we are to become. We are to become more like Christ. And thankfully, God is at work in our lives doing this because we certainly couldn't do it on our own. Someday when Christ comes, this image will be perfected in us and clearly displayed for us. But until that day comes, we trust that God is working in us as we take steps necessary to grow as well. And finally, God's love changes us by giving us motivation to be pure. His love gives us hope, and as we grow in hope, this hope motivates us to walk pure and to live out lives of purity as well. And so this morning, as we close, I want to invite you to consider the love God has for his children. But on top of that, I want you to consider the way in which this love has changed you and continues to change you. Consider how it has made you his child, how he has given you the right to become a child of God through faith in Christ. Consider the fact that God is changing us to become more like Jesus. He's going to restore us to how we were intended to be as people. That's great news. And consider how you can live out purely as a child of God in a way that your Savior Jesus Christ is pure. We could go on and on and on about the love of God. We could talk about the love of God from many different places of Scripture and from many different experiences that we have had. Like the hymn writer says, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. We could go on about the love of God forever, and someday in eternity we will. But this morning I wanted to focus on the fact that the unchanging love of God changes us. And as it changes us, it brings us into a place of being his child and into a place where we can grow into what he intends for us. And as we close, let us bow to pray and thank God for this love that changes us. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your love. Father, it does not change. It stays the same. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we praise you and we thank you for that. Lord, you do not change. And Lord, as your love does not change and as it impacts us and reaches us, Lord, it has changed us. It has made us your children. It has made us unknown to the world. And Lord, it makes us more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for the work that it is doing in our hearts and in our lives and making us to become more like you. We pray that you would just continually be working in and through us, Lord, and helping us to consider just what great love you have for us. Lord, we don't deserve this. We don't deserve this amazing love that you've given. But Father, it is such a privilege to have received. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. And as you've shown us love, would you help us to show this love to others, to bring this love to others, and to help them understand how you can change them through the way you love them. And so, Father, again, we thank you for this. We don't deserve it, but, Lord, you've given it. And in your name we pray. Amen.